Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18+ BeGambleAware.org.
Hello and welcome to today's Monday Postcast. I'm Maddie Plough, joined in the studio by Robbie Wilders and Dave Orton. Paul Binfield on the line as well. As usual, first stop on this postcast is going to be a weekend slash week review of Aintree. And there's only one place to start, guys. I was getting quite emotional on Saturday about it. I think, you know, you can't really have a go at me for being so. Tiger Roll, legend, Dave.
The most emotion I saw was a chap I was watching next to, back Magic of Light to win only.
Ouch.
That was a serious amount of emotion coming out of that bloke. Yeah, no, it was absolutely fascinating. And to watch the whole race, he was just so confident throughout David Russell. It was a superb ride from Russell, we should say that. Yes, he was definitely on the best horse, on the best handicapped horse, as it turned out as well. But it was a fantastic ride, latching onto Rathfinden. We'll talk about the meeting a little bit, hopefully. There was a lot of, you know, sort of, I guess, a bias on the chase course, not just on the Mild Maid track, but on the National as well. You had to be up there. Team Mullins worked it out, didn't they, with all their runners, the ones that we're going to talk about. But you had to be up there. Rathfinden, to see Ruby Walsh up front in a national that early shows you exactly what they thought. You know, it's not going to come from out of the clouds. He just held on to him for that a little bit longer, didn't he? And the way that he took a pull coming into, you know, into the home straight was just something to behold.
Yeah, and we've got, does that mean we mark up the likes of One for Arthur's run, Robbie?
I think we'd have to, yeah. There was a couple of eye catches in behind that run massive races, wasn't there? I was quite impressed with the, who was the fourth home again?
Walk in the Mill?
Yeah, Walk in the Mill. Yeah, that was a big performance. I didn't have him on my mind beforehand at all.
Brown would have been dry enough for him, wouldn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. That,
I think even the jockey, James Davies, said he was quite surprised at how well he lied up early on.
If he comes up generally heavy, or soft next year, he's massive respect for him.
Yeah, I think that deserves marking up. But I know we were having a debate, weren't we, as to where would Tiger Roll finished if he ran in the Gold Cup? Because he put up an RPR of 174, and that's the joint ninth highest of the season. And so on level terms with Annabelle Fly, there's a case to be made that he could have finished ahead of Annabelle Fly in the Gold Cup, I feel.
I think that's pretty
Do you think
much,
he would have won, Dave?
Oh.
I think he might have struggled. I'm not sure why. I think he might have struggled to win. But
yeah, definitely. I think that's right. He's more than talented to make a frame in the Gold Cup, isn't he?
Yeah.
It's a shame we won't get the chance to see it because it's likely that, I mean, he keeps coming back, doesn't he? But next season, he is going to start to decline soon. I don't know when it's going to be.
He's only nine years old.
Yeah,
Wilders, you've had a shocker there.
He will inevitably decline. I don't like to be negative, but
just because he's been at his peak for such a long time.
Michael O'Leary came out straight after and says he's very unlikely to go, but then he also said after Cheltenham he's unlikely to run in the National.
This is the man that said Apples Jade would never run in a champion hurdle as well.
Exactly, O'Leary changed his mind and, you know, well, he's not going to go for the Punchdown Gold Cup, but you want to see him tested at Grade 1 level now, because especially what he did in the Grade 2 over hurdles, that was mightily impressive, and this is a horse absolutely thriving.
One of the all-time greats, isn't it fair to say now?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I must admit, I'm a fairly dry personality at times, but that gave me a bit of a lump in my throat when he was cruising into contention.
Did you well up a bit, did you?
Just slightly, yeah. You wouldn't see that too often with me, but
definitely not.
Yeah, that was.
I weren't the only one. It was a great atmosphere in the office. Binners, what have we got any prices for next year? Tiger Roll to do anything fancy?
Yeah, we've put him in at 8-1 favourite for the same race next year, Maddie. We were a 10-1 immediately after the race, so some people clearly think he's going to run. Again, I must just give some people a quick mention. The guys from Leek, there was four of them, a brother and sister and two other guys. I wrote their names down, but I lost it in the confusion that was going on. But I was in tears after the race. What a brilliant race.
Yeah, it was indeed. We could talk about Tiger Roll all day. I'm sure we'll refer to him again at some other point during this postcast. But let's move on to some of the other performance. Starting off on Thursday, we had Kalashnikov. He got his just desserts in the Grade 1 Pentland Hills. I was quietly, you know, surprised with how well he won, considering he was such a big price in the Triumph. That was a good performance. Ken Boy and Super Sunday as well. The ground was terrible. It looked horrible at Aintree on Thursday, didn't it, Dave?
Yeah, that was I think the one disappointing thing about it. Probably they do put a lot of water on up at Aintree. You must remember that they don't race since the Beecher meeting. It usually looks like a bowling green, and obviously they had that vandalism as well, didn't they, with the car?
Yes, across.
So it was all a bit of a nightmare for them, you know. And they weren't sure. I can understand why they did it, because the forecast was looking like we might have a quick national. No one wants to see that.
No,
so they're always going to put lots of water on. But when the rain
dried out so quickly,
that was you know, it a saviour that happened. Thank goodness. But I think come Saturday, it was a bit odd ground. Just My general feeling about the meeting, and I am an Aintree fan, I do like it. I know that you said to us that you preferred it to Cheltenham, which
I'm sure I'll get bonkers.
I can't see it myself.
That's mental.
No, it plays second, I think it plays second fiddle.
It had a lot to do with profit, I think, didn't it?
Yeah, a little bit to do with my pocket.
Talking out your pocket again, Maddie. Okay, but I just think that we're going to see that, whether we can take some of the races, the big races, literally for next season, I'm personally not so sure. I thought last year when there was a longer break that some of the races worked out, you know, Might Bite, Native River, that sort of thing. Cheltenham's horses, the ones who came out of Cheltenham and won at Aintree, I think deserve upgrading, definitely.
Okay, but Thursday, a highlight, Kalashnikov, Kenboy was really, Ruby Walsh on those front runners. He did a similar thing on Min, which we'll talk about in just a minute.
Complete masterclass. Yeah, they worked it out from the start, didn't they? And what would he have done in a Gold Cup? Do you think he's flattered by that then, Robbie?
No, I was really impressed. But you'd have to feel that falling early in the Gold Cup certainly helped his chances here. He didn't come off the back of the top race.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Planner's Oboes, I really liked him going into the bowl, but you just sensed that the Gold Cup took quite a bit out of him there.
And Nichols on Gold Cup morning said when the rain came, we knew we were up against it in the Gold Cup. Mm. It probably didn't help him, you know.
Suspect stay.
It's a bit laboured, didn't he? And Bristol Demai, probably you'd rate the race around him, I think.
Yep.
Just looking for Racing Post ratings in that race. We gave him a 177, so it's Gold Cup class, that's for sure.
And I think with Kenboy, the funny thing is when he won the Savills Chase, everything went his way because, of course, there went no gallop. It was a great ride from David Mullington. It was almost a similar sort of thing at Aintree with Walsh in that he got his own way out in front, but the way he quickened off the back of the last, that was classy.
Yeah, when he won the Savills, there were some people, you know, not necessarily me, actually. Maybe at the time I was like, I sort of buy into this. You know, the Mullins ride at Leopardstown was the best ride of the festival there. You know, nicked a little bit. But he confirmed that form with Road to Respect, who probably is. Nick Watts on this show last week told me that he was a horse that was in between 2 mile, 4 and 2 and 3 miles. And I think I have to probably concede that now. He looked a little bit like that. But the form's there in the book, isn't it?
It is. We'll move on to Friday then. We had Felix Deji, Lost in Translation, Min, Champ, Cadmium won the Topham in awesome style. You don't often see Topham's won like that. A highlight from you, Rob?
The highlight would have to be Min, yeah. I kind of thought the trip might be against in 2 mile 4, but again, Ruby Walsh just kept it simple from the front, didn't he? Made his own fractions and he absolutely routed the field. I got this one wrong again. I really like waiting patiently, but I just wonder if there's something amiss with him at the moment. He wasn't jumping with the same sort of exuberance.
Do you think he's just perhaps not as good as the hype made him out to be?
I'm not so sure yet. Well, I think it's probably fair to say he probably isn't quite as good, but he's still a... At his pomp last season, he was a 170 horse. He's not shown that at all this season. I thought his Ascot Chase win last year was awfully impressive. I know there's only Q card in second, but the way he won it was...
Say only Q card, I mean an ageing Q card.
But I've sold Q card down the river there slightly, haven't I?
You have, absolutely. It's our ball be listening, you know. So
I'll retract that statement, but yeah, as Dave touches upon, Q card was past his best. Waiting patiently, put him away for the season.
Cheap pieces, that was weird, wasn't it?
Was a strange move, wasn't it? What do you make of that?
Yeah, strange decision. It seems like they're going to have a real good look at him now and see that there must be something bothering him, I'd say, because he's just not hitting the heights of last year.
I'm not so sure about that, but interesting, you think we should keep an eye on him. Dave, it was a happy day for me anyway. Big, big loss.
Here we go. The mile main novice chase, of course. I was nowhere near the office and I was watching it and I was like, Monday, how long have we got till Monday? Yeah, okay. I mean, he absolutely bolted in, didn't he? So come on, take it away. What was it, trip?
I think so. Track. I think it was the trip, track as well. He's proved he goes at undulating courses. He won at Cheltenham, ran up to form, I think you could argue, when he won at Sandown. We were talking about him going right-handed, of course, and he has proved that with regarding to a King George bid in the future, perhaps. But people are arguing that Top of the Game didn't run up to his form. He ran a bit lazily, but what do you make of that claim? I'm not so sure.
Again, I think the bias has been forgotten a little bit about in this race. Because of what happened at Kempton over Christmas when he headed Le Bagoire and then they were strongly believing that he idled that day. It wasn't the trip. Mm. Proved right at Cheltenham, of course, in the RSA, where he Cobden in that race
horse,
gave the best
it?
Ride, I think. Mm. But again, you could also argue that that wasn't a true test of the RSA. They dawdled for a long way and it did turn into a bit of a dash. I don't know, he's a funny horse. I thought he was a certainty on Friday just because I thought that, you know, they're going to bounce him out a bit more. I thought Lost in Translation with Tizard's form, I sort of bought into that a little bit. Mm. I thought he would get outstayed. I think it's a ride that Cobden would want to get back. The track probably didn't suit him at all.
The horse wasn't travelling well enough, though, was he?
He wasn't, but the problem is, you've got one horse to beat, and I think he just gave him that little bit too much rope. And when you get caught out at Aintree at that fourth last, it is a long way home to try and make that ground up. And no one was doing it on the week. He was about £10 below for me at RSA.
Okay. Do you take that formula literally with Lost in Translation?
Yeah, I just wonder. I'd still have top of the game as the bigger Gold Cup prospect, to be honest. That might...
Shocker.
That might not... A lot of people might disagree with me.
Logically, he is, though, isn't he? I mean, he's won the RSA.
Yeah, I just wonder whether he needs just quite a bit of time between his races. I don't think he handled Aintree as well.
Some trainer, though, isn't he? To go have that, you know, a really disappointing Cheltenham. And it wasn't looking like, you know, at the meeting that the other horses were quite coming up to scratch. And then two grade ones in the space of 48 hours with... I think Lost in Translation looks all over a King George horse. You'd agree with that?
Yeah.
I've got the stamp there, that's fine. But he did win it easily, didn't he? It wasn't, you know, he looked
quickened
impressive.
After the last.
He always promised to be better over 3 miles, didn't he?
I mean, I was a bit disappointed over top of the game. I didn't have a bet in the race. I just thought I wanted to see a Denman-esque type horse coming out for next year's Gold Cup. You know, having sort of bought into him a little bit in the RSA, I haven't been with him at all, this horse. You know, he's shown a few quirks and what happened at Exeter and things like that, and Kempton at Christmas.
Does he have the best constitution?
Some people could say he went in snatches, I suppose. I think that Nichols was right to not criticise anything about the run, just say it's just one that we'll learn from.
Okay. Binners, we've spoke about Min, glowing reports from him, and Lost in Translation. Any prices on them for next season?
Yeah, Maddie, well done with that Lost in Translation. He's 10-1 from 20 for the Gold Cup. Dave just mentioned the King George for him. He's an 8-1 poke for that. My personal performance of the day, I was all over Emmitom in the Sefton Novices Hurdle. He was
great
beaten by a great race, beaten by a very good horse in Champ, who's now 8-1 favourite for the RSA from 20-1. But I spoke to Warren's assistant at Cheltenham the following day, and they certainly haven't given up hope for Emmitom, and there'll certainly be some big races for him in the future.
Yeah, some good horses have won that in the past, haven't they? With the likes of Thistlecrack, etc., etc.
Oh, no, again, coming out with that one. Santini, of course, had a year before. Still a decent horse, isn't he? Yeah, absolutely. I think that we have to be positive about that form. A bar, maybe Tiger Roll, was that the ride of the week for Mark Walsh? Who, let's face it, just jumped on the horse after Barry had that unfortunate fall. I thought it was a brilliant ride.
I couldn't see why they were going 3 miles. I thought it was a speed horse, but he's just very, very classy, isn't he, Robbie?
He certainly is, yeah. What do you think they'll go chasing next season with Champ? Or
market certainly suggests so, doesn't it?
Yeah, he'd be a very interesting prospect. We never know how these horses are gonna jump, but he'd be right at the top of my mind for the novice chasers.
He's a 7-year-old, isn't he, already? You don't like 8-year-olds in these championship races at Cheltenham, do you? So, I mean, it's, you know, they don't tend to win the championship races. So
that's
a good point. Asking, we're all assuming that he's going to go over fences.
Well, I know Martin Brassel highlighted the Stayers Hurdle for City Island, didn't he?
Yeah, and I think that Ballymore, we now have to seriously treat it as a very good race. Brewing up a storm on Saturday round.
Right, forecast, Sam's profile.
Very interesting horse going forward.
Yeah, indeed. And Saturday, we've spoke about the National Reserve Tank. Shock winner again. Dave, you mentioned another win for Colin Tizard. I was impressed with him. He looked pretty smart, but I'm not really sure of those in behind.
No, and I mean, we gave him 1-5-1, which is it's just a huge jump up in form for him. I covered that race for the Post on Saturday and in the analysis and said it was an average-looking grade one. Look at the previous winners of that race. Black Op, fair enough, didn't go on this year, but had some top form. Finian's Oscar, York Hill, Nichols Canyon, Simon Sig, Spirit Sun, Peddler's Cross. It can go to a really good one. And again, he was always up there. He kept it simple in a race where they either didn't get home in behind. It was a bit of a messy race. I know that One for Rosie, is it? One for Rosie of the Tristan Davies camp were unhappy about a lack of pace for him in that. He was coming just out of handicap company. Brewing Up a Storm looked like he'd just done enough for me for the year in that. And Angel's Breath, what do we do with Angel's Breath now? Considering putting a hood on him, and he's got a bit to prove going into next season.
I thought it was a weird one, Robbie, because they didn't seem to go too fast and they're all in a heap, but then the winner stretched clear as if the others didn't stay. It was a bit bizarre.
It was, yeah. I think you have to mark Reserve Tank down by virtue of that lack of pace as being a real horse to follow for the future. He's only 5 years old. he's improving all the time. And something I spoke to you about in the office was the fact that he's a son of Jeremy as well. And Jeremy's notoriously go better with a bit of dig in the ground. He's done that on good ground. I'd have him down as a superb prospect as a novice chaser next season.
Yeah, he's a Colin Tizard trained novice, so I'm going to like him by default, aren't I? Or Nua, before we move on to if the cap fits, would you be fancying him for Cheltenham next year?
No.
No.
It's just a terrible division, the Arkle division. Us and them again finished second. Mm. It was interesting, wasn't it? I've been banging on about this bias, but or Nua, you were wondering, on paper there was a lot of pace, and Destrier even of Dan Skelton's had won his races by going forward. They held him up. He came through with a good chance. I think he's a nice horse going forward. But us and them race more prominently than he often does, second in the Arkle, of course. But he just always finds a way to get beaten, doesn't he, this horse, which is unfortunate. You know, he whacked a couple of fences at a crucial time and he's coming back all too late. I think everything went right for Ornua. That's his big day in the sun.
Yeah, Robbie, I mean, this division's really missed Larishberg, hasn't it?
Oh, but absolutely.
Layla Lawler, however you pronounce
it. Yeah, I can't figure out Layla at all. I thought I'd give him another chance on a slightly better surface at Aintree. We know he won the top novices hurdle last year, but he was just absolutely flat again. I'm just struggling to believe that Cheltenham display, because he was just so impressive that day when he had Dynamite Dollars and Defy de Soy in behind. He's not replicated those heights at all since.
No.
And what do you do with him? I'm not so sure. Ornua kind of reminds me of Black Horton last season in a way. I know they're different kind of horses, run over different trips, but Ornua is always considered a kind of good ground summer horse, sort of maybe one for handicaps to have a bit of fun with, but he's really exploited opportunities in quite a weak division. And yeah, as you guys have said, I wouldn't have him on mind for the sort of champion chase race like that next year, but he probably did deserve a big race win.
And I know a race that you'll want to talk about, and all of us will, because it was an absolute thriller, and that was the Stayers Hurdle won by If the Cap Fits. You were sweet on him beforehand.
It was, yeah. I tweeted at the start of the week, I thought 12-1 was quite an interesting price for him there. I always thought he shaped like a bit of a stayer. The step up to 3 miles has helped here. Thought Sean Bowen was excellent in saddle as well.
First grade one for him.
First grade one, richly deserved. First of many, I'd say. He switched If the Cap Fits, didn't he, before the last. That probably helped his cause. I know he didn't jump the last very well, but he was so strong in the finish. And you'd have to say Apples Jade probably wasn't quite run up to form, but I'd have If the Cap Fits down.
Good to see her bounce back to an extent.
It was a better performance. We're not going to say it was the same. She was in the same form as when she won the Irish Champion and the Hatton's Grace, etc. But this was a step in the right direction. I'd certainly, with Harry Fry's sort of tendency to send horses to Punchestown, I'd be quite intrigued if the Cap Fits goes for that 3 miler there. I'd have him down as one of the very big players in that race.
Dave, a lot of people were saying the words race of the season after that.
Oh, it's fantastic. Again, lucky enough to cover that in the analysis section. It was a pleasure to write about. Giving the weight to the two mares and walking through that last hurdle.
He was down on his nose.
I thought the 14-12-1 for the Stayers, although he's never raced around Presby Park, of course. He was supposed to go to the Supreme last year and he got injured. So that's one question mark about him. I thought 14-1 was perfectly fair. Okay. Keep pieces, of course, on helped him as well.
Yeah, I think Lazy they need to keep them spirit. On, don't they?
Roxana, a brilliant performance. I was on her. I thought she was going to win at one point. Mm. I mean, that's just as good as she is. Whereas Apples Jake went out to the right again, didn't she? I thought she put up an outstanding effort in defeat, considering she got taken on by Sam Spinner and went right and then walked through the last. It was.
Indeed. I know we've already gone through Thursday, but we didn't speak much about Super Sunday beating Bouvardaire again. Bouvardaire just not, for whatever reason, it was a great run, but many people were expecting him to win, Dave, and he couldn't.
It was a strange finish, that. Super Sunday massively,
on underrated
serving.
Horse, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And Chase Time Apples, Jody, we've just been talking about there. It's just more solid. I don't know. Nearly being brought down by Bouvardaire, you probably say it cost him a little bit more than he was beaten. I probably would have thought so. Whereas a lot of people say, well, he had a lot of time to reorganise, but it certainly didn't help him. It's just not quite. I think basically, if you're a novice stepping up into the Champion Hurdle division or Espoir d'Alene, you're quite happy with what you've been seeing since, I think.
Yeah, what do you make of him, Robbie?
I just don't think Bouvardaire was suited by the way that the race sort of panned out. It turned into a real stamina test. He's an out-and-out two-miler, and Super Sunday probably just outstayed him, didn't he? Yeah, as you say, underrated horse. Is that his third grade one now? He's won the Irish Champion Hurdle, the Punchestown Champion Hurdle, and now he's won the Aintree Hurdle.
Coral Cup.
The Coral Cup as well.
Yeah, very good horse. Yeah,
but he's been second, third in so many other top-class races, and he probably doesn't get the respect he deserves. I was in the camp of thinking he probably wasn't quite as good a horse this season, but
I thought he wanted good ground.
He was very flat in the Stayers Hurdle, but he's bounced back in non-certain terms there. And what a horse to own.
Yeah, exactly. Binners, before we move on to our looking forward segment of the postcast, any updates on prices for horses that won on Saturday?
Well, if the cap fits, Maddie, in what you've described as the race of the week, and it probably was, that one's 14-1 for the Stayers Hurdle. We've given all newer a quote of 33-1 for next year's champion chase. For me, the highlights of the day were Keeper Hill getting third at 25-1 in the Grade 3 handicap hurdle on the opening race for my friend Max McNeil. And I was on the panel at the London Racing Club last week, and afterwards I met John Phelan in the bar, who owns All Newer, and he was very, very sweet on that horse. So well done to John. Very nice fella. And he gave me a glass of champagne afterwards, which was even nicer of him.
Anyone who gives you free drinks is an immediate friend, but we can't blame you for that, Binners. That'll do us for this section, and we'll be back in just a second.
What's my horse's handicap? The fact that you're backing him? Everyone loves a newbie. That's why Paddy Power Games are giving all new customers 60 free spins on daily jackpot games. New Paddy Power Games customers only. One per customer. T's and C's apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back to this Monday postcast. Now we're going to look at some of the weekend action. Our first port of call will be Newbury. Some great draws on this card. Dave, we were talking about how, you know, you can spot stars of the future. Let's start off with the John Porter then. This yes. could be a pointer for some of the good staying events this season. Anyone take your eye on
that? Well, it's not a bad lineup, actually, at the five-day decks. The likes of Communique for Mark Johnson, who's got to step up a little bit now. He might have a bit more offer to as a four-year-old. He's a big tank of horse. Defoe will probably head the anti-post market, I'm imagining. For Roger Ver, and if you remember, he got nutted in Germany, didn't he? When he's very much ground dependent. Did he win it last year? Actually, that's a good point. He might have done, didn't he? He won a big race there. Like, he did win it last year, of course. 5-4 shot. That's right. They smashed him, didn't they? Young Rascals in there for William Aggis.
Like that horse.
Big horse. But, you know, a big year for him. Muta Sadia.
Yep.
Hugo Mildenberger.
Marmelo.
It's this time of year, isn't it, where we're going to talk about midweek racing on these shows. Sometimes we're like, well, you know, I haven't really had a look. It's just mundane jump racing. Now that we've got evening racing coming back and flat racing as well, and still the jump season to go, there's so many horses to look at.
Robbie, any who would?
Yeah, I'd be quite interested in Defoe and the John Porter. I did our stable tour with Roger Varin, and he was saying he was going to look into turn Defoe into a real staying horse for the campaign. This would be a nice pipe opener, as Dave said, he won the race last year. I'll be interested to see how he goes. Ascot Gold Cup might be too far a stretch, but there's a lot of good opportunities for these staying horses. Yeah. Aren't he's been gelded now as well.
Remember he ran in the arc. I was there that day. He went wide all the way, didn't he? And he's just paid for that.
Good horse, but on a bit of a recovery mission. And we'll go on to the Fred Darling then, officially the Dubai GT Freak Stakes. I'm relieved. Dancing Vegas in.
Happy days, I'm with you. Dan Du is also in there over David Ellsworth. But Rafe Beckett's Dancing Vega won really nice maiden at Doncaster last year, showing smart level of form. Form's worked out, listed winner come out of it already. That race has historically produced classic winners. They weren't going to give her a trial, actually, but now I think she's improved over the winter. She was 50-1 for our 1,000 guineas. She's now around about 14-1. Dan Du, of course, was just touched off in the Rockvale, a little bit unlucky maybe not to win that, but I'm just wonderful.
Main edition, so perfect. A couple of others, big names.
Yeah, again, horses from last year.
Yeah, it could be a nice trial, Robbie. Would you pay much attention to it with the guineas?
I'll certainly be keeping an eye on it, yeah, but I wouldn't necessarily have any sort of betting angles at this stage. I really like Dancing Vega as a two-year-old last year for Rafe Beckett, but we have to see, don't we, if these fillies are going to train on.
Yeah, Binners, just run us through the 1,000 guineas market and we'll get an update.
Yeah, Skitter Scatterhead's the market, Maddie, 8-1. Then it's 10-1 Fairyland and Just Wonderful. 12 Lady Kaya. And then Eastern Dancing Vega on 14s. And it's 16 the rest.
Yeah, so if something comes out and wins really impressively, I'm sure that'll shorten up. Maybe Dancing Vega, a prime candidate to do so, Dave. Yeah,
you never know with these fillies, do you? Like how much they've improved over the winter. It's very tricky as a punter if you're going into it. You've seen some bubbles burst in this race,
yeah,
for sure.
Definitely. Hopefully one bubble that won't be burst is Two Darn Hots in the Greenham on Saturday. What a superb two-year-old. Tom Siegel was saying he's the best we've seen since Frankel. He's got to win, hasn't he? He's got to win. He's got to do it easily.
Handicapper agrees. 1-2-6 for that Dewhurst. I mean, you know, apparently he's trialled well at home. Came through his gallop, so they're saying they've got to put a positive spin on. He's a fascinating horse this year, isn't he? I mean, he could be the poster boy that we want. Of course, Frankel came out and won this trial before going and blowing up the Guineas, whether we see anything like that. He's a fascinating horse. Why? Because he looks like he should be staying further, and yet he's got a sizzling turn of foot.
Robbie, I mean, maybe it would be fair to say there's not too much exciting you in the opposition on Saturday, but no, he looks very special, doesn't
it? It's too darn hot to lose, isn't it? In terms of, as a prospect, I'm still concerned about the fragility of his siblings.
Yeah.
Somi Dar and Lati Dar have obviously missed big parts of their three-year-old campaigns through injury. That might just be pure coincidence, but that is something to be wary of with you to Tudon Hart as a potential going on throughout the season after the Guineas. But yeah, it'll be very interesting to see how he gets on. And looking at the opposition he has, he should absolutely rout this field if he's even just as good as he was last year.
Yeah, that's an interesting point you make, bearing in mind that they kept him as a young horse because he had an injury. Mm. We don't want that to be flaring up again. Binners, what price he now for the 2,000 Guineas?
Well, looking at that Greenham, Hello Hume Zone could be an each-way option for Kevin Ryan. He looks quite good, won a group two easily last time. Too darn hot, well-rated above the rest. He's evens for the 2,000 Guineas. 13-2 for 10 sovereigns. 10-1 Zakuski, Calix, Magna Grisha, 14 advertised and 16-1 bar.
Brilliant. Fingers crossed we can see Too Darn Hot return with a victory. But the wonderful thing about this time of year is that we have the return of the flat and the jump still going. It's Ayr's big weekend with the Scottish Grand National, and the Scottish Champion Hurdle is always a competitive event. Binners, do you have any prices?
We do indeed, Maddie. Yes, we've got 5-1. New Negra heads the market. Then it's 7 Malaya, Mr. Fisher and Vidana Blue. 8-1 Rhodesian, 10-1 Leon Cavallo, and 12-1 the rest.
Who's of interest, Dave?
This is a handicap, of course. Last year, I seem to remember, it was a really, really funny race, but they crawled for a long way and everything had a chance to out, and it was about who had the best turn of foot. Nube Negra for Dan Skelton and Harry Skelton. I think it's fair to say that Harry, when third last time, he came in for a lot of stick that ride. You watch it back, he gave him an incredible amount to do. He had been brought down at Taunton the time before in an okay race when he looked like he was coming. He's just been a really unlucky horse. He needs everything to go right. You suspect the fact that he's only been out three times, he might have had a few problems, but everything looks right for him here. And he's number 15 at the weights at the moment, so he's going to be getting weight from a couple, and 5-1 at the moment-ish, I think, then you can sort of certainly see the case.
They know how to win these two-mile handicap hurdles,
big day,
don't they?
I think, if everything goes right.
Yeah. Robbie, what do you make of it? Some good horses. Yeah, Mr. Fisher's in there.
Mr. Fisher is in there. Novices, very interesting going into open company in this race. I actually had a good look at the race last night. I've had a couple of bets already.
Back
Brain Power, I thought he was interesting. He's been dropped £5 for
what
his
is that
being pulled up and
Brain, you've backed Brain Power.
Yeah, well, I just think this is perfect.
What sort of odds are you getting on him? Hundreds?
20-1. Big field, be suited by this, strong pace. 1.53, he can definitely win a handicap off that mark, I'd say. I know he missed the engagement in the Aintree Hurdle on account of the ground. I can see him going well. The other one's Leon Cavallo. I find it difficult to forget his third in the Galway Hurdle behind Sharjah. Mm. With Bedrock in behind, La Richebourg in behind, Cast Iron Form. He was meant to run in the Betfair Hurdle, but on account of equine flu, that was obviously cancelled. That was meant to be his prep for the County Hurdle. And so they had to go fresh the County Hurdle. Ran okay in that midfield. That should put him right for this. And I expect him to go well at a fair price as well. He wasn't even in the top five or six in the betting, and he should be nice odds.
Mr. Fisher's in there too?
Yeah, I just mentioned him. It'd be good to see how good these novices really are. This
flat track for him, I think. I thought that at Haydock.
Kia Doudary ran well in the... in the four-year-old race, didn't he?
Yes, indeed. Yeah, we didn't think it was a strong Supreme Division, did we, going into it? Hence, Fakir was taking shots, not just because of Sir Eric as well. But Fakir, I don't know. Flat track for him, I think. Brain Power, that's madness.
I don't think so. He won the handicap a couple of years ago off 149. He's only £4 higher. Two runs ago, he won the
international.
Yeah, the international, that race at Cheltenham.
Donna Blue's in there as well, isn't she?
The ability's there. He just needs good ground and a strong pace, don't you?
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see who Nicky Henderson runs. He always runs a good horse in that, doesn't he? We will see indeed. And as I mentioned previously, it's the Scottish National this time around. Binners, just run us through the prices.
Big River heads the market, Maddie. Has been bigger prices, as big as 14 at one point, 8-1 favourite now. 10 Vintage Clouds, Talk Is Cheap, Dingo Dollar, Impulsive Star, and Beware the Bear. And it's 12-1 the Young Master Crosshue Boy, 14-1 bar.
Now, vintage clouds, you had to feel for our colleague Tom Park, didn't you? His wedding fund was on in the Grand National. Oh, all ended at the very first. Oh,
there'd be less of a budget at that wedding.
Retina green.
Perhaps Parky could take solace from vintage clouds backing up in the Scottish Grand National. He felt the first fence, as long as he's okay for that. I don't see why they wouldn't go. He was third in the race last year, seventh in the race before. He's much better this year, and I give him a solid chance with conditions sure to suit on good ground over an extreme test.
Yeah, good to see the Ultima winner in here as well, Dave. Beware the Bear, he's going to carry a lot of weight, though.
Yes, he is. If he goes, it looks like he is. And Big River, who, of course, was fourth in that, and looks like this has been his target all year. He's a course winner, this chap. He's due to carry 10-6 at the moment. I can 100% see why he's favourite.
He's caught the eye quite a few times. I remember he ran a listed race at Warwick behind Miss Halfwar a couple of years ago.
I think he'll eat the, you know, the ground and the track and everything's right for him. I remember when he won at Kelso last season, I thought Scottish National all the way. So he'll be, he's short enough. There are some other interesting ones in here. Cloth Cap for Jonjo O'Neill.
Yes.
I haven't seen him for a while. I'm just not totally sure we can trust these Jonjo horses at the moment turning up on the big day. I thought Tedham was going to be, you know, at Aintree last week.
A strange gamble, that, wasn't it?
He cruised, though, through the race. They just don't find much, do they? Falls of Milan didn't find much. It's something about these Jonjo horses not turning up on the actual day, but he will be a gamble, I think, Cloth Cap. He won really well when last seen.
Yeah, understandably. So, Binners, have you got fancy in the Scottish Grand National?
Yeah, I am a Beware the Bear fan, actually, Maddie. He's going for a hat-trick after winning the Ultima at Cheltenham. I think he jumped for fun that day. And I also think that Air will really suit him. So I'd love to see Beware the Bear complete the hat-trick.
He's also just nothing in front, does he? Even at Cheltenham, you saw him jinking, even with the blinkers on. He's a proper stayer, isn't
he? Great jumper of a fence.
Rated 160 now as well. That's a huge
very high, yeah. Anyway, we'll take a quick break now after our Scottish National selections and have a look at the midweek racing.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back to this Monday postcast. We're going to look at the midweek action. Now, I'll spin through the meetings for you. Tomorrow, we're at Pontefract, Exeter, Southall, Goran. Wednesday, Nottingham, Warwick, Lingfield, Kempton. Thursday, Chelmsford, Limerick, Huntingdon, Weatherby, Newcastle. Friday, Ayr, Newbury, Fontwell and Kempton. Dave, me and you were having a look through this beforehand. A lot of variety this week, as you'd expect.
Start ramping up the midweek flat action now. Yeah, the further flight stakes at Nottingham. It's always a good card, that. Flat fans absolutely love this this meeting. There's a good condition sprint as well. Only 4 runners from what we can see on the deck so far, so a bit disappointing there. But there are some good horses in there. Amazing Red, Earth Red Dunlop, has got to give weight to Palaster. Do you remember her?
Yes.
Roger Verity. Yeah, she could be much, much better this year, couldn't she? As a 4-year-old, she's got loads of size about her. She'll stay, and Ryan Moore is jocked. He could have ridden Amazing Red.
Yeah, exactly. Not in the UK, but some decent French trials as well. The Jebel and races like that, always worth keeping an eye on. Robbie, what did you like the look of this week?
I've got a few, Maddie, to look at. I spoke on this podcast actually a couple of months ago about You Can't Call Her That, who has a far inferior hurdles rating than chase rating. She didn't actually run at the time I put her up, but she's rated 96 over hurdles and 142 over fences. She has an entry over 3 miles at Limerick on Thursday. Absolutely thrown in.
That was a curveball. I wasn't expecting you to say that, to be honest.
I mean, £46 disparity. I mean, we know it doesn't always
translate. You love your Irish racing, don't you?
I do have a couple in Britain as well. The second is David Pipe's Legal History tomorrow. He mightn't be much of a price, though, I fear, but he's going the right way. He won a really good competitive juvenile handicap at Ascot on his last start. He's gone up £7, dropped back a triple suit. And the third one is River Wild in the listed 2 mile, 4.5 handicap chase at Ayr on Friday. Maybe Gretchen Park in the dispersed partnership could celebrate one of their last big winners. The ground was against him in the plate. It was all wrong that day. He was pulled up, but his start before at Haydock, he was really eye-catching when he fell. A mark of 150, I could see him being better than that. And he's on my radar as well.
Okay. Binners, where are you out and about this week? What do you fancy?
Well, I'm looking forward to the 2-day meeting at Newbury. Maddie, the 4:10 on Friday is a conditions race that often is very informative for the future. John Gosden has a horse called Turgenev in there. Frankie, it looks like Gosden's number one in the race with Frankie jocked up, but the one I like in it is his number, according to jockey bookings, the number two, Valdstern. That was fourth in a listed race, having been beaten in a novice before that. And that's one system that I do quite like. John Gosden's horses, when he raises them in class, having been beaten at a lower level, they often turn out quite decent.
Nice angle there. And now it's time for the midweek naps, Dave. Take it away.
Also at Newbury, 3:05, 2 mile two, staying handicap.
Friday.
On the Friday, yes. Alan King runs a horse called Who Dares Wins in there with Ryan Moore. You remember him, running Cesarewitch and Chester Cups and the like. But I like his second string, or what I think will be the second string, with Holly Doyle on, Coeur de Lion. Tough horse, dual purpose horse, best handicap horse in the race.
Okay, Robbie?
Yeah, I'm really bullish about one tomorrow, actually, in Ireland. Peshkova in the seventh furlong filly's handicap. I'd advise anyone to watch back this filly's last run at Navan last Saturday. She was hampered. She got no trip through at all. She finished 12th of 23. But beforehand, she was backed into 11-2 favourite in a really competitive handicap from double-figure prices. Steps up in trip to seven furlongs. That will help. She's by Shamadal. She's a half-sister to Tower Bridge as well, which the fact that she's been running so well over five furlongs bodes well for a step up in trip. And I'd be extremely bullish that we'll see a much improved display. And I think she will win.
I like the sound of that very much. I'm definitely going to go and watch that replay after this. And finally, Binners.
Wednesday at Kempton, Maddie the 5:10. It's a seven furlong median auction. A horse called Mazaru, trained by Richard Hannon. Tom Marquand's going to ride it. This one was a comfortable winner at Windsor on debut and then went off favourite for a big sales race at York. Didn't have the best of luck there. Dwelt, didn't have much room and hampered in the final furlong. And I think that Mazaru is much better than that and can win this.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. Thanks to Robbie, Dave and Binners for their tips. That's it for today. Please remember to rate, review and subscribe wherever you're listening to us from. Loads of podcasts throughout the week to keep you entertained. But I'll be back on Friday for a more in-depth look at the cards. So please join me then. Best of luck with your bets this week.
Paddy Power Games has over 250 of your favourites to play online. And we're going to attempt to name them all in this 10-second ad before the T's and C's kick in. There's Blackjack, 18+, bgambleaware.org.